Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, very, very non-physical today.
I guess it's kind of not an obsolete question, but a pointless question.
Oh, no. If it reminds you that you're embracing your place of power to notice non-physical, that's a perfectly logical feeling place. It's not a problem
at all.
Okay, well,
thank you very much.
Well, of course.
Well, as you probably know, last week I had the Market Makers course with Steve Morrow.
Okay.
And it's a four-day session, and it was basically about the market makers' perspective of the way the markets move and how they move the markets and different strategies and whatever. I was interested in doing it, and I was kind of enrolled and up for it before we started talking about the markets about a couple months ago.
Knowing at all levels can't ever hurt you, because once you know, then you know.
Exactly. And what his course focuses on is the high of day and the low of day, and how the market maker structures the high of day and low of day.
Okay.
And, do you have anything to say about that? About high of day and low of day?
He might as well have gone to great lengths to tell you about the good of day and the bad of day. See, that's all. That will work perfect every single time without fail or exception if you're playing horseshoes or hand grenades.
Okay.
It'll only get you close.
It only gets you close, because you can always have a... Yeah, it only gets you close, exactly.
Right.
Now, when you say that, could you... Like, what do you know... If I ask you about Steve Morrow, what can you tell me about him? Like, does the background that he tells us...
Oh, very easy. Very easy. Those that know how to do it wouldn't have to get resources from others to tell them how to do it.
Okay. So are you saying that he's a bit of a fraud?
Never. Never. But if you're good at it, then you'd be busy doing it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand why he focuses on teaching.
Correct. Because your teachers teach because they can't do.
Well, that may very well be the case. Now,
it's logical. Does he feel compelled? Does he feel compelled to help you succeed?
Yes, that's what he says.
Uh-huh.
He feels compelled
Is he taking personal culpable responsibility for your success or failure?
I guess not.
Uh-huh. Okay. Fine.
He states that he met a market maker. Is that true?
Well, what's a market maker?
Like somebody who's at, that's a good question. Yeah, what's a market maker? Basically somebody who has experience in ways in which they sort of manipulate the currency of markets.
Well, fuck, that's not hard to do. Anybody that's making a big enough trade will make the market.
Yeah. That's true.
You're a market maker?
Well, yeah, you're the market. If you've got enough money, you're the market maker.
If you have any money, you're a market maker. That's what the market's made of.
Yeah, exactly. So I went over last session, over the last hour, and I jotted down a specific section that... is near the end where I basically said, well, then what's the formula? Like at the very end.
Uh-huh.
And you went through, figure out what AB is, and it equals the tangent as a linear point. Draw a parallel line from AB, then you have a mark of expanse of a distance. Fill in ABC what the formulary is. Pull those numbers as levels for ABC. Pull a sine cosine from AB, assign A sine B cosine towards C. Before you hit C, you will cross into the point. That point will
If you cross into a point, that's a significant milestone.
Okay, before you hit C, if you cross into a coin.
That's correct, because it may be that you have to flip your currency. See, if it doesn't hit, you'd have to flip your AB so it would. Or
okay.
Change your point.
Now,
because see, now just take the yen, for example. The yen's kind of gone crazy here just recently. Well, you'd
yes.
known that in advance, and it wouldn't have hit anywhere in your trajectory. So rather than going from dollars to yen or Canadian to yen or whatever you're trading, you'd have to go from yen to yuan or yen to euro, or you'd have to flip the equation to know that it's actually going to be inverted. Or you'll get a negative number. You'll have, instead of up 49 pips, it'll be minus 40 pips.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And that's the point. Now, if they intersect, okay, sorry. We're sorry. Go ahead.
No, sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean I thought you were done.
No, it's fine, because it's okay, because you'll get there. It's fine.
Okay. what I wanted to ask was, that whole page can that whole page be summed down to an equation that I can have in Excel and just input the criteria that I need to input? Like, all I want to do, I want to structure an equation in a program called Excel, which basically is dealing with equations. So I just want to put in my three inputs, which would be the three currencies, and then the Maybank rate. So four inputs, because those are the only things I know. Those are what is, correct?
Well, correct.
So those are the only things that I need to know in order to get my answer. Is that correct?
Well, with the sine and cosine of those values, yes.
Yes,
you
the
know
sine and cosine.
Those
so
once
let's
you
say,
pull them.
So if I, what would the actual formula in Excel be if I was working with the three inputs, the input A, input B, input C, and the Maybank rate? So if I had those four inputs, what is then the equation that I need to, that needs to be done to those numbers?
Okay, let's try it for one more, for the fourth time. You can't do it in Excel.
Oh, okay. You can't do it in Excel.
No. You have to pull your sine and cosine and find if you have, you have to pull the other tangent to see what your future experience actually is, of which the experience would occur from your standpoint.
Oh, okay.
Point.
So it is a bit of an art form in a sense.
Well, like, you're merging trigonometry and plane geometry.
Okay.
That's
so,
the point. You're gauging from a linear perspective time. Well, time and linear perspectives are false premises. See, you draw your triangle, you set your points.
Okay. So what is the most streamlined approach to being able to do this every night? Like
pick three points, find those values, they're given. That's your beginning point. Okay?
Okay.
Those three points, you configure them in a triangle, an A, B, C points of, and it's not, we say more times than not, you could draw it out as an equilateral triangle, but what you may find if you actually plotted those values, it may not necessarily be an equilateral triangle.
Okay,
but it would, that's why we said use your graphing calculator to do that, because your X, Y axis would be given already by your values of the current beginning exchange point. But you can also do this. You can also do this with places, people. You know, there's lots of different applications. It's not just dicking with the 4X. You can use, you can tell time. it works for everything. But you're asking about dabbling in money crap. So you pick 3 points. You have a value. And if whatever you're interested in trading, if you say A, okay, if you're trying to find what the future value of A point is, then A would be your, we'll say the top quadrant, the top of your triangle, just for, okay. So you can get a pictorial view here. Okay, now you have a value depending on the currency mark that you're gauging, correct?
Correct.
You take that value with a graphing calculator, and you pull a sine and a cosine off of that one value of A.
And okay, now when you say that, what's the actual equation? Is it just sine and then the number? Like, how do do it on the graphing calculator? Because I'm going to have to
You give the value, and if it's 1.3658, and you hit sine. On a graphing calculator, that'll give you coordinates on an XY axis, will it not?
Okay, so I'm going to go, it will.
In a
sine
point value.
1.3658.
Whatever the value is.
Uh-huh. And I could graph it, and it should graph,
yes.
Right?
Correct.
Okay, cool. So the actual answer is 0.97 something.
Okay, now mark that, 0.97. And that would actually be plotted on a graph. Because, see, you're taking linear geometry, but now you're fixing to apply, now you're applying trigonometry. So 0.97, okay, that would be, okay, so 0.97. Now you take your A value again, and you take the cosine of it.
Oh, okay. So you take your A value, take A, and go sine A. Oh, I think I said that before, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
Pull a sine cosine from AB.
No. Pull a sine cosine from the value of A.
Okay. From A. Okay. So now...
And you have a value.
So you start, and you've got you've labeled your triangle A, B, C.
Correct.
And then you go, step one after that is sine A.
Cosine A.
And then cosine A.
Yes, and then plot those values of what the sine and the cosine is. And if you graph it, you'll find that more times than not, they indeed overlap at some point in the graph.
Okay.
And now you've marked your first value of sine. You've marked your value of cosine, correct?
Correct.
And that sets the peak and the trough for a vibrational wavelength. Okay, and that's the graphing calculator's job. And where they intersect, outside of those numerical values, those are points that you will plot and attach a value to from your XY axis. Okay? So if the sine cosine wavelength intersects every X 4, every time 4, every 4 bars, you plot each of those 4 places. Between the value of the sine cosine, which you already know because your calculator told you that, okay, up to your y.
Okay. Okay. So right now I'm going. I want this thing to draw it, and it gives me some. It says clear draw line, horizontal, vertical, tangent, draw F shade. I want to just draw it as draw
yes, just,
IND
yeah, just,
circle
right.
text. I just want a clear draw or line.
Yeah, clear draw. But now you'll play with that. You'll play with that because all of those functions apply. But that's all predicated now. Now, get this. That's all. Which direction that you graph it is predicated on what your sine cosine values are. What if you had a cosine value that was a negative number?
Then it changes it a bit.
That's right. So you would invert it from that side. But we're not trying to confuse you. We're just saying all those any of those functions absolutely apply. That's why we were trying to get you. You're visual. If I can ever get the visual in your head, then you can matriculate it and make your, and then you might actually be successful in plotting an Excel pathogen to calculate it. But you're never going to get that formula until you get a picture of what's going on. Okay?
Okay.
And that's what we're going to get to. So then you'll know. Okay. You have this big triangle, and at the left-hand side, the top point is A, and there's a value for A because you've already assigned it a value. You take the sine, you get the value, and you plot that. You get the cosine of that same A, and you plot that. Then you plot the graph of that sine and cosine wave, and any point that those sine-cosine wavelengths intersect, which they should, anywhere they intersect on your graph, that's a point that's significant. And you make you go dot, dot, dot. There's three of them, or none of them, or one of them. Wherever it intersects between your sine cosine value and your beginning point of A, any place that those sine cosines interact, put a dot and get that value. See, because if it's 4 over, you can calculate that, because that will become your the variable. But you can calculate exactly what that point is. Okay? Okay, that's the first step. Second step, you're trying to find out what A is going to be, correct?
Yes.
Okay, as long as you're trying to find out what A is going to be, then AB always is your tangent of that triangle.
Just to clarify one thing.
Well,
for the sine A and cos A, I am signing the actual number that I'm getting from the charts, and I'm cosing the actual number that I'm getting from the charts. I'm not using the answer from sine A and times the cos.
That's
I'm
correct.
Doing,
that's
using
where
the
you're
same
gonna,
number.
Right. Here, now, that's
okay, good.
You've
just
hit
to clarify.
You've hit a great point. Since you're there, we'll take you right there. What's the sine and cosine value of that set point? That's going to tell you precisely where to set the second tangent, the B1, A1 tangent, the future tangent.
Okay.
Remember we said draw another line to make a smaller triangle?
Yes.
Well, those intersecting points were the ones that you'll connect to draw your second tangent. And now wait, this is where it gets magical. Now there's a little bit more to do, but let's do this little microcosmic step here. Okay, you have a big triangle. Remember A, B, C. C is going toward the right, and B is under A, let's say. Got it?
Yes, you can see what's in front of me on my page.
Right, that's the reason we're just going to get you. Now, when you get the sine cosine value, and you can draw a parallel tangent that's parallel to the first tangent that would intersect the triangle.
Which looks like this dotted line.
Yeah, and it'll end up making a small triangle. Got it?
Yes.
Now, look here. You have A on the first tangent line. Now you have another triangle. Look there. Guess what that intersecting point would be? A as well. So now you have
now
A.
Okay. You're talking about the intersecting point right here where my pen is pointing?
Down. Where you have your values, you'll draw another tangent that'll be parallel to your first tangent. And so within the triangle, it'll intersect the triangle. So what you'll be creating is another small triangle within that triangle. So it would be a tiny triangle that would be closest to point C.
Yes, okay, that's exactly what I've got.
All right, now where you set that tangent is predicated on the value, the sine and cosine values of your first value. on the B1 tangent line, because we're calling the first tangent A to B. Well, so when you pull it down, it'll be B to A. But you'll label the triangle perfectly as an A, just like you did originally, A, B, C. So basically, the C point would remain the same in both triangles. You got that?
Yes. So let me just write out what I'm thinking, and then you tell me if it's correct.
That's fine.
Paper. So this being the A number 2 at the top, and this being the B. Like that?
Okay, if you want to call it. Okay. That's okay to do it that way. We do it a little bit different, because if you have to invert it, it'll get confusing. But if you'll leave your original A as just a set A, and you'll make your new A, A1.
Okay.
That's okay. Or if you want to make it A2, well, let's make it A2. Make it A2 like you said. And here's why. Because when you get the second tangent that's parallel to your first tangent, that whole line segment, which is bigger than the triangle itself, you will label it the top point B1 and the bottom point A1. And that'll just help you in case you have to invert it, the formula.
Okay, so you're saying that, is there any, this may be a whatever, but is there any way that we can transfer visuals more effectively back and forth with each other? Or, like, is there? Can you transfer a visual to me?
Well, actually, we could just put the money in your account, but then it wouldn't be your creation, would it?
Well, no, I agree. I agree with that.
Good.
The goal is
because once you get
it,
the whole point of Nelson, the whole point of this is to bring you, you marvelous human creator, you, into your place of power. Now, we don't mind giving you the words. We don't even mind qualifying the pictures. We don't even mind answering any question under the sun. But the point of the interaction is to bring you into your place of power. So once you know, then you got it. And if you play with that just a little bit to verify
it, then
you know.
It's better for me to take a little longer and work through these diagrams and draw them myself.
Well, but it's pretty simple. I mean, it's...
I just want to make sure what I'm drawing is right. That's pretty much it.
Well, you'll know that when you work the formula in from a past reference and get the new value from a future reference, and it's to the within a half of a pip of the correct answer.
Yeah, that's true.
God, you'll know then, won't you? You could live with coming in within a half a pip of your market point, wouldn't you?
So if I want to do this on an intraday basis, is there a best time to approach the market and perform this equation?
When it's the fastest path to your joy, it makes no difference.
It doesn't make any difference.
Nope.
Okay, because whenever I want to.
Right.
Ultimately, the goal is to get a sizable account quickly, and then focus on longer term. That's my goal.
Good.
Like, if I look at this as a process, I want to start and work for another couple months growing quickly a smaller account up to, let's say, $500,000, and then after that, focus on longer term trades.
Well, go a little more than that. That's not...
Okay, that, so focus on
little,
quicker trading up, like,
that.
10 million?
That's closer. Then you don't have to think about it. It'll get even easier when you don't have to think about it.
Yeah, you're right. Because
we're not being gauche, but
I know you're not.
We know how you are, so $500,000 isn't going to do very much for you.
Well, but like so much of my like creative ideas and concepts take dollars to develop, you know?
No, we don't.
So that's what my drive is. My drive in terms of... All of my drive for money just come from the like the creative person in me.
Nelson, I answered, no, we don't know. When you said all that about money, you know, and I said, no, we don't know. Ask him what he meant by that.
Okay, I'm going to pick up on my receiver.
Sorry about that. I think that the speakerphone is a bit screwy. I said, what was the statement that you said I don't know, Tim?
Ion, you said...
You said, you know, Ion, the only reason that I'm wanting the money is because of the creative ideas and concept that I can conceive and play with require funds to create or to validate or to create. You know that. And our answer is no, we don't know. Because not the case at all.
Well, I guess that there's just, it may be a result of a more direct route to the, all right, either way, it's a little bit off.
it's not a little bit off. It limits you because then if you don't have the money checks, then you can't create. That's what you're saying.
Well, I can create, but not at these levels.
If you can't do it at these levels, then you can't create it. That's the point.
Well, yeah,
see, what
you're
we're
right,
talking
you're
about,
right.
what Nelson, what we're talking about is an unlimited, no limitation, no limitation at all, not one. No limitation like up to $18 billion tomorrow. That's no limitation.
No, that's no limitation.
But you're saying for you to get to that place, and we're not suggesting that that's be your desire place. Well, it wouldn't make any difference if we did or not. You have to allow that to come into your experience. But once you do allow it to come into your experience, it'll come snap right there, all done. Boom. Next. You're trying to engage in an aspect or something that you enjoy doing that's fun, that you play with to calculate, to figure out, to know what a future value of something is.
Yes.
And we don't mind helping you till Jesus comes to get to that end. No problem.
Well, thank you very much.
So it's all right. But none of that is predicated on you being good at anything to do whatever it is you want to do. Goodness has nothing to do with it.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And that liberates. See, what that does for you is it liberates you. Because now you don't even have to have a trading account, open a trading account. Hey, you can get like Marcus Welby. And you can have seminars and teach people how to do what you know how to do. And then you're going, oh, no, not so much. Oh, but they'll pay you lots of money checks, and they'll pat you on the back and say thank you for your help and blah, 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 and all that stuff. Makes no difference. The essence of creation is just that, the essence of your creation.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Now with that knowing, then so therefore there's no limitation. And if you want to do it this way, this is a fine, fun way. Fun away as any way, it's no problem. But let's get back to the formula so you're gonna get somewhere. So you got
okay.
A, you got B, you got C, you got 3 points. You know the value of A, B, and C because you chose A, B, and C, correct?
Correct.
You got a sine and a cosine of A, and that has a value, correct?
Yes.
And that's somewhere toward the C mark, that value.
Okay. The both values or?
Both values, yes.
Okay.
Because if you take the sine and cosine and you gauge the wave from A to C, toward C, that should give you a future point of intersection, if you follow the line segment, correct?
Correct.
Okay, just like your picture now, you have a value, and let's say it's way up high somewhere, and so that's 1 point. Now, you've got other little dot, dot, dot points through the sine, cosine. If any of those points plot inside that triangle, That's key. Get those values. And you can get whatever value, you can get that value by where it falls. Now, that's the intersecting point of the sine cosine wave. Now, if none of them intersect inside the triangle, that's telling you something. But you're not lost. It's just telling you something. Okay. Now, go down to B. You have a value for B.
Yeah, let me just ask you, how will I know if they are in the triangle?
You plot them.
So I have to plot the triangle first.
No, you can set the triangle wherever you set the triangle. That makes no difference where you begin, because that sine and cosine wave is a frequency that's going to come off the value that you put into it. And all I'm saying is where they intersect, you can find those coordinate points. Your graphing calculator will do that for you.
Okay.
Where the sine cosine values intersect, it'll give you an x, y value. Well, you plot that x, y value on this graph that you have, and you'll set that wherever the triangle is on your graph. You know, plus 2, minus 2. That means you go up 2 blocks. And if it's minus 2, you go down 2 blocks, you see. And it'll give you those pinpoint values.
Okay.
And if any of them intersect inside the triangle, that's very, very significant. Note that. But even so, you have A, and you have then the outer point towards C as just the sign of this value of A. Okay? And therefore, that becomes a plotted point toward your point of C. Now, you do the exact same thing to B, and you find you have another point. Okay? And now, what we're saying
so
is...
You do sine B cos B.
That's right. And then once you do that and you get those outside values, here's what you'll do. You'll connect the dots, and that'll be your second tangent, Nelson. That will be tangent B1 and A1, which is exactly opposite of your AB opposing tangent. Did you get that?
Yes. But this is finding this dotted line, correct?
Uh-huh. That's correct, and that sets your point. Okay. Now we're going to help you, but now we got to get you somewhere so you can get to a formula. All right, now here you go. Now, when you make the second tangent, the B1, A1 tangent, when you make that tangent, if you notice, you've now created another smaller triangle, remember?
Yes.
Now, where that second tangent intersects that AC line segment, you're going to label that A2. Remember, we decided that.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you look at the BC line segment, where that tangent intersects the BC line, let's call that angle B2.
Okay.
Gotcha? Okay, now, what you're trying to do is you've got a price of A, and you want to know at the close of business of that day, what is A2?
Yes.
And that formula done with A and B, setting the tangent, will give you an exact value of A2.
Okay, and A2 is basically when you want to exit your trade.
That's correct.
Okay.
But now you'll get witty with that. You'll get witty because we're giving you the general space. We're giving you the general. But the same thing would work if it was a 30-day trade.
Yes.
See? So, because that's time, and time's not in it. But we're okay. So, now if you hit a point, okay, now you do the same thing with B, and if you have any intersecting points of the sine cosine of that value inside the triangle, that's very significant as well. Because what's happening with a good fractal, all you're doing is you're triangulating the possible positions that are available for a future event. Well, if there is no time, then it's nothing other than a mathematical equation that's vibrationally, with inertia, an outcome that's a preset. Now, that's a mouthful of wordy words, but once you play with this a little bit, you have the essence of time travel right there, too, by the way. Because guess what? What if you were looking back and you wanted to find out what happened before? Well, guess what? If you're able to pull a tangent to the future to create an ABC triangle, you could then also use your original AB and pull back word, and you could find out what history was really. Isn't it interesting how they keep changing history?
Yeah.
So now if you know what B1 is, and you got B, you figure out what B2 is, you could then also pull a tangent behind it and find out what B4 is.
Exactly.
As long as
it would be a larger tangent to the left of the triangle.
Exactly, exactly, because that's all this is. If you're going to lay it out linearly, that's what the geography does. If you're going to lay it out linearly, that's how those points line up. And so you can go back and forth, forth and back. Okay, now easy now. Now you've created a new tangent, B1A1. That's your set point in time. Now, you will also now, here's where you come into it.
You said B1A1.
That's the second tangent. That's the second tangent.
Excuse me, I thought I was on mute.
Oh, man. Okay.
Your new B1A1 tangent, okay? That new tangent, that's now the new tangent of the smaller triangle. That would be your
A2. Oh, okay.
A2.
So wait one second. The line that we have labeled A2 and B2.
Correct. That is the B1A1 larger long line tangent.
Okay, so does that tangent actually extend beyond
line
AC and line BC?
Yes.
Oh, so it looks more kind of like this.
Well, you could make it, if you did it just right, you would actually have A, the big A, and if you drew a straight line to B1, and if you took B and you drew a straight line to A1, you would actually be making a great big box. But those segments wouldn't be a straight line. They would be your sine, cosine wavelengths.
Okay, so let me just draw where B1.
Yeah.
B1 is at the bottom.
No, B1 is at the top. Remember we said invert it in case you had a negative value.
Okay, so B1 is here,
mm-hmm.
and A1 is here.
Yes, because you're trying to find out what A is going to be.
Okay, and if you connected these, you'd end up with a rectangle.
That's correct. And with the top and the bottom segment of that rectangle would actually be a helix of the sine cosine wavelength.
Oh, okay, very interesting. So I'm just going to draw this again.
Nelson,
yes.
You're getting somewhere now. Now you're getting somewhere. Because guess what they sell on the Forex? You can buy a block, remember?
Yes.
You are trading within a trading range of a trading block, are you not?
Yes, you are.
Well, now you have a block in which to make your gauge judgment upon. And everything is vibrational. You would concur. You agree with that. You're not pushing against that because you know everything is vibrational. Well, if you know what the sine cosine of the predetermined value is, then that vibration is set, is it not?
Yes, it is. Now it's set. That's set by sine A cos A, sine B cos C.
That's correct. But that's
sine
and that's
B
that
cos B. Sorry.
And
sine
those
A
values went. Go ahead. No, you're going over it to make sure you got it right, and we're trying to tell you new things. So we'll ease up and go ahead.
Okay. That's the result of sine A cos A, sine B cos B is giving you that vibration rate.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes, yes. See, because those are vibrations, are they not?
Yes, they are.
Well, I mean, they're a wavelength, which is a vibrational length. And the peak and the trough sets the pattern, the repeating pattern of that frequency of the value of your original value of A.
Yes.
So now you got it, okay? Now you got it. Now all you got to do is, when you get to that point, you have a value for C you've not used yet.
Right.
Okay? So here's what you do. Here's what you do. You take the value. You got all that other stuff up to that point now. You don't know exactly what to do with it, but you've got the picture, and you know to get the sine cosine of A, the sine cosine of B, and make them go towards C at the new established tangent, which, and you got that tangent by hitting the value and hitting sine, and it gives a value. You plot that point. And then, so you should equal, come up with an equal or a parallel line to your original tangent.
Yes,
okay?
With the original tangent being 3B.
That's correct. But now remember we said it doesn't necessarily have to be an equilateral triangle, because you will finally, once you use a graphing calculator, you'll plot that triangle based on the value of what A is. So
yes, what the actual price is.
That's right. Don't get boxed in that it has to be a certain kind of a triangle. Now, the reason that we inverted the second tangent is because what if the value of B was greater than the value of A? It would actually invert your tangent, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would invert the whole triangle.
That's right, but if you label it the way we've got you labeled it, it won't make any difference.
Okay, so basically,
see?
What's going to happen is A is always going to be the biggest number.
Not necessarily. That's the reason we say don't get pinned into that, because your calculator will graph that as it is. Because see, it already uses coordinates; otherwise, it can't graph that sine cosine wave.
Yeah. Okay.
See, it's going to do that, and that's the reason. But we really want you to get the picture, because you're visual. Because if you get
yes.
the picture, then you know what. You've always been the one to be able to prove if the calculator was telling it right or not.
Yes.
And that's why we're doing it this way. Because then you could know. If it is inverted, that's no problem, because if you notice your new tangent is where you have the AB, where you have AB tangent, your other tangent is B1A1. So if the thing flips, instead of B1 being at the bottom, B1 would be at the top. I mean, A1 being at the bottom, A1 would be at the top. So you're right back where you were.
Okay, so that nullifies the problem.
If it is a problem. But that,
yes,
that
exactly.
will always make the box, regardless if it's inverted or not. Because, see, time is that way as well, isn't it? Supposedly,
yeah,
everyone has the same amount of it. No one's on the same degree of it. But once you have this point from a vibration, the outcome at the end of your time that's within that triangle, if you notice, it becomes a narrowing, more focused point of your from your AB tangent towards your C point. But even so, with a good fractal, which is what you're creating here, Nelson, is within that smaller triangle. Remember that the one that's behind the second tangent toward the C point.
This one right here that I've got my pen
yeah,
on?
The tiny one, the tiny little triangle right there. See, now you have a focused pinpoint trading range that can be calculated exactly of what the new price will be.
Yeah, because A2 is the new price.
That's correct.
Okay.
Because I know what A is, and I want to know what A2 is going to be. A2's going to be. So you look at your B2, and it's parallel on that same line segment, remember?
Yep.
So then all you have to do, now that's significant, but now you got to prove your point. Here's how you prove your point. You take your C value.
Okay.
And you pull. Now, do you know how to do an inverted sine cosine?
Is it to the negative 1?
That's correct. Very good. So you do that. You do from C back toward your original AB tangent.
Okay, so you take the C number.
Uh-huh.
And you go sine to the negative 1 of C.
That's correct. And so what you're doing now is you're setting C back through the triangle. Now, if you notice, if you hit a sine cosine, guess what you're doing? You're actually setting the y-axis.
Yes.
Naturally. So it makes no difference what value that is. That's still going to be y. Now, if you have a y-axis and you have a tangent, which is your x-axis, now you know it. Then it plots it for you because you were asking, how do I plot this? And we said it'd do it for you. But now, here we go. Now look what you've done. You've drawn a triangle. You've divided your triangle into two quadrants. And remember, we already told you to take the values of your original A and B and see where they intersect. Okay? And if they ever line up exactly at any point, if you have a one-day trade, and halfway through that, you have those points that line up, then you need to know it'll hit that price halfway through the day.
Okay.
And so your time, So your time is divided by the number of blocks between the tangent AB and C.
That's what I was just going to say. So your actual graph ends up being somewhat of a timeline.
Exactly, because that's all time is linear.
Okay, so if you were doing
each block would be a day.
Yeah, okay.
If it's 24-hour trade. Exactly. So, and you can plot it that way because, see, your computer program on the Forex, that's how it runs anyway. It basically sets those points, a line here and a line here, and then it goes up or down within that time frame for its bid price and ask price. Well, bid price and ask price is only your sine cosine values.
Yeah.
You say yeah like you know what you're talking about.
Well, eventually I will know it very well.
Yeah, but actually, Nelson, what's happened is you've hit the point. It's like, well, now wait a second. This is a trading floor. How can there be a bid price and an ask price? Well, we already said that. You know, you have an asking price, a liking price, and a taking price. Well, that's in the proximity of its vibrational condition. And
yes.
If it bumps it higher, all it does is increase the frequency. If it bumps it lower, it decreases the frequency. So you have a larger peak and trough. So if you did the yen a day before the earthquake-y thingy-thing, which, by the way, we laid out completely in Revelation with the winds blowing and gave time frames of when it was occurring from the blood moon all the way through. So this wasn't a mystery for us, and we're just tickled and delighted. And Bob is just reeling. We'll out Bob for a minute. He's just reeling because he's got all kinds of recorded stuff knowing all this was taking place. So he's giggly as a schoolgirl because it's kind of like, holy crap. There you go. There it is. Well, there it is. Okay. But if you knew that in advance, then you'd look and say, wait a second. If I knew the yen was going to be trading at 128 yen to a dollar, fuck, I'd have made my 10 million right there.
Well, yeah, exactly.
On a $10,000 trade. On a $10,000 trade, and it would have been overnight. See? Because how do you calculate that many pips? That wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of movement. The yen moved a lot on Friday.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And then it moved a little more since. But that's okay. That's okay. Because now you know, Nelson. Now you know what the yin's going to do when purple finally finishes burning up.
What's purple?
Oh, the fourth reactor.
Oh, the fourth reactor. When does that occur?
Well, you got the formula, baby. That's your practice.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I might as well just apply this to the yen over the next couple weeks.
Fuck yeah. That's exactly correct. And then that also would, and you notice, everybody was, and Bob's laughing. He's on mute, but he's chuckling. Because everybody was all tore up about the oil. And we said right along, don't worry, it'll come right down. It went down $3 today. Now nobody's out of oil. Now no problem. Now gas is going down. Now, oops, sorry, never mind, oops. And these filling stations, it's going up and down in the prices. They hadn't even got a shipment of gasoline since they went up 70 cents or went down 20 cents. They pumping the same damn gas that they had to start with because it's vibrational.
Uh-huh.
So you could calculate what Saudi light sweet crude would be in 2 weeks. 84
so from what you're saying, it's very possible for me in a matter of months to be at that level.
Or days.
Or days.
But we're
but
not saying
that.
But there's no hurry. We want you.
No, I know, but I
want
to. I've
got to
get. After
gotta,
we end this.
Gotta. Mm-mm.
I want to.
Yes, your desire is to get comfortable
Master
in the skin that you're in, and you would enjoy this knowing to be included as the fastest path to your joy.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah,
and that was
exactly
just a little
it.
Clean up, but you know, we're getting your hair combed and getting you all fixed up. We don't want you spitting on yourself while you're getting all cleaned up. That's all we're saying. You know, that way
uh-huh.
you don't have to get slobber off your tie. But that's all that's about. And you'll find that's handy. But that's not a deal breaker. The point of this thing called bliss or this point of joy, the joy part is because it's fun. And for you,
uh-huh.
it really isn't even about the money. Really, really. Because you've been with and without and over and under and access to great and denied much all at the same time.
Yes.
I mean, so it really is kind of silly after a little bit. Now, we're not being trite. We're not
funny.
Being
it's
trite.
Like you're a voice in my head.
Yeah. We're not being trite, but we are trying to get you into this position to where you can be in charge of
yeah.
your world.
That's where I want to be. Thank you.